Brother Darrell in your prayer.
Elder Darrell Hand.
I bet everybody's met you now, Brother Darrell.
I believe so. It's so very good to be here with
really
you.
Really good to have you. God bless you.
It's such a different world out there. We come together to raise the name of our Lord high, commune with God, the Almighty God of all creation. It's a marvelous thing that we recognize that God's in charge, it's not us. I don't know how many times in my life I have said, I'm going to take charge of this, I'm going to do that. Come to find out, it's the Lord that's works. That has worked in my life. I thank Him for that. Because without the Lord, I would have nothing. You know, I hope what is on my mind is something of the Lord. Not something that I might pick out, but something that God wants to reveal to us in His ways. His ways are so much higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. But we go from day to day thinking that we've got to do something, or we need to do this, or we need to have this, or we need to do something with our lives. It takes times of disappointment sometimes to really see God. When we come close to God, because we need Him so in our lives. I've been thinking about David's son, Solomon. Some of the things that He has taught us, some of the things that we get from God that He brings forth in the Scriptures. You know, when Solomon began to reign after David, in the second book of Chronicles, I believe in the sixth verse, I'll start, it says, "And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. And that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee." When we pray to God, He's good to answer. He says, "And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead." He sees that God is in charge. Amen. That's a big lesson in our lives. That it's not us that make ourselves kings. It's not us that make our way. But it's God that directs and guides our steps. Do you believe that today? Of course you do. If you believe in God, you know how powerful God is. How mighty God is. "Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge." He's asking God for wisdom and knowledge. "That I may go out and come in before this people," not for himself, right, "that he can lead God's people. I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great?" Right. Sometimes we have the burdens that we want to share and help those that we love when we come together in a group to commune with God. We want to help one another. Solomon was asking God for wisdom and knowledge that he might lead this great people who are the children of God. "And God said unto Solomon, Because this was in thine heart," because his heart was right, is your heart right? and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee.
Right.
And that's where it comes from, brothers and sisters. We don't figure it all out ourselves. In fact, the wisdom of the world is against God.
Amen.
And I will give thee riches and wealth. Listen to how God blesses Solomon here. And honor such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after. So Solomon was blessed by God with wisdom and knowledge so that he could lead God's people. So that he could be of use to God, not to himself. Listen to what he says over in Ecclesiastes. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Some people look at it as something somewhat different, and they don't like it. But Solomon gives us so much of his wisdom and knowledge in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's so interesting how he develops in his life. The richest man ever was. Solomon, the great Solomon you've heard about. Let me go on to the second verse of Ecclesiastes. Second chapter, I'm sorry. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. And behold, this is also vanity. He came to the conclusion that this old world, trying to have stuff, trying to have things, trying to have materialistic items, is all vanity. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and mirth, what does it? I saw in my heart. Listen to all the eyes that he talks about in here. He's talking about him, his natural being, not his spiritual being. That spirit that animal spirit. I saw it in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, that I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Have you ever gone through in your life those times where you say, what's it all about, Alfie? What's next? What am I supposed to do? What's the world all about? What am I here for? Solomon is telling us here what's important in our lives, or should be. And that's Almighty God.
Amen.
He said, I made me great works. He went through it. He's telling us about it. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. And I planted trees, and in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. This is all what the natural man wants. We want another new car. We get that and we're tired of it. We want another one. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. This is what Solomon built up here on earth that was from his natural tendencies.
Yeah.
I gathered me silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings of the providences. I got me men singers and women singers and delights in the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. He had everything of this world.
Yeah.
Do you think he was satisfied?
No.
Do you think he was happy? So I was great, he says. How many out there in the world say, I'm great because I am this. I have this. I have done this. Think about this, brothers and sisters. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. We have such a lust in our lives to want more and more than what we have. Also, my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. This is King Solomon. He had it. If he wanted it, he got it. Identify with this in your lives. I withheld not my heart from any joy, what he thought was joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, all of the things that he had, all the things that he had done, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of the spirit.
Amen.
And there was no profit under the sun. We're talking about the daily life of Solomon that built up and spent years accumulating, gathering, having men servants, maid servants, singers, all these things. And he looks and says, this is all vanity and vexation of the spirit.
Yeah.
A grasping for that natural spirit of the natural man, not the things of God. And he says, down in the 14th verse, I'll get through this pretty quickly. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all.
Yeah.
We are all going to die in this life.
That's right.
In this natural life.
Right.
One event happeneth to us all, he says. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. Even a fool is going to die as I am. And why was I more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. If we put this in the right perspective, brothers and sisters, in our lives, we can live closer to God and walk with God. He says, 17th verse, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of the spirit.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting thing to see one of the richest men that ever lived, that had everything in this life, that we go after constantly, and was totally unhappy. Says it's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. We will be there, brothers and sisters, on our deathbed, it may be. But we will recognize a powerful God that created you in your mother's womb, that is in control of all things, not just the higher things, every little minute detail in life. God is in charge of.
Amen.
That little flower that you see out there that buds in the morning and shrinks at night, God is in charge.
Amen.
If you think that you're in charge, you're wrong, brothers and sisters. You're looking at the wrong thing. I hope I never depend on this old person that I am, but I want to depend on who lives in me.
Amen.
I want to be with the one that helps me walk in life.
Right.
The one that shows me what is real in life.
Amen.
And it's not materialism.
No, it isn't.
Not at all. It's that heartfelt thing that we have, that God put within us, that we can come together and get away from this world.
Right.
Ye are not of this world.
Right. Amen.
You're of God's kingdom.
Amen.
How wonderful is that? It's more precious than rubies and gold. He goes on and say, and who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? 20th verse, therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. Excuse me. He's beginning to realize all this stuff. I didn't need it. I didn't need all this power. What I need in my life, listen to what he says. 22nd verse, for what hath man of all his labor and the vexation in his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better. Listen to this. Nothing better. And we're talking about a brand new Cadillac. Nothing better for a man that they should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. What is good? God is good. Amen. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Amen. God is good. That's what we want. This also I saw, and it was from the hand of God. Amen. That's goodness. It's from the hand of God. It's not from your materialistic things. It's not from your big bank account. It's not from anything that you possess other than the love of God. Let us draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
For who can eat and who else can hasten hereto more than I?
Yes.
For God giveth to a man that is good in His sight. You follow after good. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, to go down the good road, and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner He give travail, to gather and to heap up, that He may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing that we have this part of our lives. It's so good to separate ourselves from the world out there that is so full of greed, so full of lust, so full of sin, so full of the things that are not good for man. Because God is in charge. He knows what's best for us. He knows everything about you. He knows what's best for us. Let's exclaim His glory each and every day as we walk in this life and point to the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. It has absolutely nothing to do with materialism of this world. It's good to have things that God has blessed you with that you're going to get by. Doesn't He even feed the sparrows? He's going to take care of you.
Amen.
We just have to recognize it.
Amen.
Follow Him.
Amen.
Don't incline to your own understanding.
Amen.
It's God that leadeth thee, the goodness of God,
Amen.
That leadeth thee to repentance.
Amen.
Thank you for your good attention and your time. It's wonderful to be here and celebrate God.
You're going to keep on going. You're doing good. The Lord blessed you.
Man,
the Lord blessed you. Enjoy that.
Bless me.
I need that.
Me being here.
Thank the Lord. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. All those verses, and all that truth that's been declared, I just got so impressed with that 18th verse where Solomon said, as we've heard of all the riches that he had, and all the things that he'd gone after, and he sought to be happy in this world by the things of the world. He came to that one statement in verse 18 of that second chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, "Yea, I hated all my labor." No, 17th verse. "Therefore I hated life. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit." And God's little children, Solomon was a little child of God. We can come to the point in our life in such a low state of despair, even have all the natural blessings of things around us, where we're, you know, we say it sometimes, "I'm just hating life." And God's people can get like that. And the reason is because our eyes get off the Lord and our eyes go to the things of this world. And that's one of the things we're reminded of over and over in the scripture, of how we ought to remember where all good things come from and be thankful to the Lord for every good thing he's given us. I have a particular passage on my mind that I want to read in your hearing. I'm not sure how much I'll be able to speak from it, but we trust the Lord will bless us with what we stand in need of. So you pray for me. I do feel better as a pastor that the flock that's gathered here today has been fed. And I feel like you've had some good sheep food and something to eat. And that's the duty and the responsibility of the minister, is to feed my lambs and to feed my sheep. And the Lord sent us a minister to do that. And as a pastor, that gives me some consolation. But I want to do a little feeding too, if the Lord will bless me. My desire is to give a cup of cold water to one of God's little children. And in this old world, we get mighty hungry and mighty thirsty. And we need the drink that can satisfy the appetite of a little child of God. And that's the sincere milk of the Word. And as newborn babes, I hope you're here today desiring the sincere milk of the Word. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to read the verses in your hearing. Genesis 28, and we'd like to begin at verse 10, the Lord being our helper. This is in the life of Jacob. Jacob, who was born of Rebekah, who we read about in the New Testament in the writings of the Apostle Paul, and also the book of Genesis. We know that our God is the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Jacob, who was renamed Israel. And Jacob was a very picture of God's elect and the children of God. In the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, it says, "If you be Christ," Galatians 3, last verse in Galatians 3 says, "If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And if we're chosen in Christ, if we're among the elect family of God, we have a kinship with Jacob in that we are in the household of faith, in the people called spiritual Israel. There's a spiritual Israel that is the chosen family of God. And reading about this, Jacob, as you read about the life of Jacob, Jacob is leaving at this time. He's leaving his family. And Jacob was a mess. God's children can be a mess. And Jacob certainly was a mess. We know that Jacob was chosen not because of any good that he had done, and that's a good thing, because if you look at the life of Jacob, he was a conniver, he was a supplanter, he cheated his brother out of his birthright, he came to his father and acted like he was his brother so that the blessing that was supposed to fall on Esau would fall on him, and he did that at the direction of his mother, and both of them had worked to get the blessings that belong to someone else to fall upon them. And all of that, you think, you know, such a conniving, deceitful way for it to be done. Could a little child of God act like that? And the answer, certainly Jacob was a God's child. But Jacob wasn't God's child because of Jacob's goodness. The Bible says the Lord loved Jacob, not for any good that was in him, not for anything good that he would do or had done, but the two children that were still in the womb of Rebekah, neither having done any good nor evil, but that the purpose of God according to election might stand. He said, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God loved Jacob." And even in all that conniving, though God didn't cause it to be, God used it, God worked it, so that Jacob would be in the place that he was to be as God's chosen child, so that from the promise of Abraham would come through Isaac, and then it would come through Jacob, and then it would come down through the lineage, and there's much in that lineage to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's hand was on Jacob's life all the way. Now, that didn't mean God made him do those things. God doesn't make people do things that are wrong. God doesn't predestinate sin. God's not the author of sin. But I'm telling you, God knew all about it. God knows all about it. There's not anything hidden from God. And God is in control today. I don't care how I'm thinking or you're thinking or what I believe or you believe. It's important. I don't want to say I don't care in the sense I don't care at all. I'm saying that doesn't affect God. God is on His throne and He's in power. And He's about to prove this to Jacob. A lot to say about this. I don't know how things will be here. Okay. He says, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now he's about to start a journey away from his house. A man who's grown up in the house of Isaac and Rebekah. And no doubt as Rebekah loved Jacob in a very, very special way. And she was watching out for Jacob, even to the point she favored Jacob over Esau. And he's leaving mom, and he's leaving dad. Y'all ever remember a time when you left mom and dad, and you went out on your own? And you know how that felt? And you're going out into the world, and you're all by yourself, and you don't know how you're going to make it or what you're going to do. The only thing you know is the promises of God are sure to you, except you don't sometimes remember that. And I don't know how it was with Jacob, but as he was leaving, I want to read this. As he was leaving, I want you to know he's traveling, starting on a journey that's going to be a little over 400, probably 400 miles, 400 to 500 miles, and he's about 40 miles into it. And he's walked all day long. I know what it's like now to walk. One time I could have told you, I don't know what it's like to walk all day long. I know now pretty much what it's like to walk almost all day long. At least until you're pooped. I mean, until you can't walk anymore. Until you can't get, and you're feeling tired. Well, here's Jacob walking along and going on, and he's going for a wife. And the reason he's leaving is he's cheated Esau out of his birthright, and Esau is angry. Esau's in the flesh, and you know what Esau does, what a man of the flesh will do when you've cheated him. He will kill you, because that's the nature of man. He's a murderer. You say, who are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about you and me outside of the grace of God. We are murderers. And Esau hated Jacob because of what Jacob has done. And you say, well, why could he have done that? Well, Esau was a murderer. And Esau, he hated Jacob and would have murdered him. And Rebekah, knowing this, saying, we need to get Jacob out of the house. So we need to send Jacob to get, he doesn't need to marry one of these Canaanite women. He needs to marry some of my family. And her family, remember, when Isaac went to get his wife, her family is a long ways off. Jacob's on his journey, and he's leaving home. Can you imagine what the first night must have felt like? Well, let's read about it. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep under the heavens. Just say, I'm going to make a rock for my pillow. That's it. You know, that my pillow company probably wouldn't advertise this and said this is a good place to sleep. You know, I got one of those my pillows and ended up buying that and ended up sending. I'm not doing a disservice because it just didn't fit my head just right. I'll send it to somewhere else. I think they're sleeping on them now and they're doing okay with them, but I had trouble. It felt like a rock to me. But this wasn't feeling like a rock. I don't know why I got off on all that, but this was a rock. It was a rock that he laid down for his pillow. And as he did that, he laid down, he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And that tells me if you're dreaming, you're in pretty good shape, because you got into a level of sleep that's a little deeper than other levels. But this wasn't just natural sleep. And the dream that he dreamed didn't come from the food that he ate. It didn't come from eating too much of this or too much of that. It was sometimes we have dreams and wonder what they meant, and might have meant you ate too much before you went to bed. There wasn't anything in the dream at all. But this was a special dream that came to him by God's divine power that was going to show him that though you're alone, you're never alone. And though you feel like you're here on the earth and all by yourself, you have a connection. And that connection is there not because of you, but because of him. And in this dream it says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. Now get this, this ladder wasn't just coming down out of heaven. This ladder set up on the earth. It was set up on the earth, but it went from, as he says here, and the top of it reached to heaven. I want you to picture in your mind now the dream that he had. There's a connection between the earth and heaven. And that connection is a ladder. A ladder is designed to get something from one place to another so you can get up or get down. Either you can get from a high place to a low place or from a low place to a high place. And I'm telling you, without a ladder being set, we and I have no access to heaven. We have no access to God for prayer. We have no access for help from heaven. We have no way to ascend to heaven. If it was up to us to set up this ladder, it would have never been set up. But this dream showed us that there was a ladder, and really showed Jacob and said, well, that's talking to Jacob. Can I say to you from the New Testament that those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we might through patience and comfort of the scriptures have hope? And if you at times feel all alone and feel disconnected and feel like you're by yourself, I want you to know that all the time, because that's how God works all the time. He's good all the time. He's present all the time. He's knowledgeable all the time. He's working in our lives all the time. His hand is upon His children. The promises of God is that He'll never leave us and He'll never forsake us. Even when we feel all alone and away from mama and away from daddy and disconnected from the world and feel like I'm all by myself, there is a dream that Jacob dreamed that you and I can see. Jacob's ladder is still right in place. And I want me to see it. And I want you to see it. When you face trouble in your life, remember the dream. Remember Jacob's ladder. Because Jacob's ladder wasn't just a ladder. This was a special ladder. It wasn't a man-made ladder. They tried that one time, remember? They were going to build a tower. How well did that get them? I'll tell you what he got them. He got them all separated from one another. And he took the language and said, man is trying to get it. He's getting too big for himself. He's getting to the way he thinks he can handle it. And they thought they'd get wise enough. And we'll just build a tower to heaven. I'm telling you, there is no access to heaven for me and you except Jacob's ladder. And Jacob's ladder is not pointing to my righteousness. It's not pointing to your righteousness. It's not pointing to a tower of Babel. Because the Lord said, these people, I'm going to disperse them and scatter them so that they won't try to do something so silly as that. Build a tower to heaven. But I'm telling you, there is an access to heaven. And there are angels. God's angel encampeth round about them that fear Him. God's watching over His children. His eyes are always with us. His hand is always working in our life. His messengers are here with us in this world. We never know when we might be entertaining them unawares. Believe me, God, we're not alone. You might feel alone today, but you're not alone. Jacob might have been feeling alone, but God showed him in a dream because he didn't know that God was there, but he said later on, he said, God was here and I didn't know it. How many times have you been in your life feeling like you're all alone and God was right there, but you didn't know it? Little Mary, in the tomb where Jesus was at and Jesus was resurrected, she said, where have they taken my master? I don't know. We've come to anoint him with oil and they've taken him away. And I don't know where he was. And Jesus talked to her. And he talked to her and she didn't know who he was until he revealed himself. I'm telling you in God's word, maybe this morning for you, you might feel all alone right now. You might feel like there's nobody who knows where you are and what you've done. I'm telling you, if you belong to the Lord, He's loved you from before the foundation of the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son, who is the one that's pictured in this Jacob's ladder. Because there's one connection between God and man. There's one mediator between God and man. There was one who was set up upon the earth, who came as the Son of Man. There's only one who had the ability to ascend to heaven. And in ascending to heaven, He opened up an access and a door for every one of God's little children. No prayers go up to heaven without Him. And no answers come down from heaven without Him. But because of Him, because of Jacob's ladder, the angels of God are ascending and descending upon that ladder.
Hallelujah.
Can you see the ladder? Let me tell you, the ladder's there. And with your spiritual eye, you can see it anytime. You might be sitting here now feeling lifted up, and you may not need it, but you'll need it tomorrow when you get down. When the bad news comes, when the answer comes that you didn't want to hear, and you wonder, do you think Jacob a little later on, when he'd worked 7 years for a bride, he was working for that dear, he was working for Rachel. And I'm not picking on you, Leah, but he got Leah instead of Rachel. And he worked 7 years. And Leah was, no doubt, was a blessing to him, but anyway, he worked 7 years for Rachel, but he got Leah. And then he had to work another 7 years. Do you think that he didn't get some times there? He thought, things ain't working out for me. Things aren't going my way. Why do bad things always happen to me? Why am I getting hit with this? Why do I have to work? Look, you've changed, Laban. You've changed my wages 10 times. In other words, you said you was going to do this and you didn't do that. And all of this, and yet in all of that, let me tell you, God was working in all of that. And that ladder was there all the time. He showed him that. He dreamed and beheld a ladder set up on the earth. Jesus Christ was set up. He came down. He took upon Himself a body of flesh. He lived a life that was perfect. He took our place. He opened the door. He's the way. Every blessing, Ephesians 2, everyone, right? Every blessing that we have in this world is in who? It's in Him. It has to come down the ladder. And every prayer that goes up has to go up the ladder. And the access, the only access you and I have is Him. By the way, it's the only access you and I need. Where is that ladder? I say that ladder's with me all the time. Sometimes I see it and I'm happy. Sometimes I don't see it and I say, what was it Solomon said? I hate life. When you say you hate life, you don't see the ladder. You come to church, you say, what's wonderful about church? Because at church you hear about the ladder. You hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go out and you share the gospel and the word of God, what does that do? It helps you see the ladder. And so when you're walking along the word, life, in other words, when you get down, remember this. Am I looking at the ladder? Have I seen the ladder? The ladder's there. It's a dream, yes. But what it's picturing is that the Lord Jesus Christ is with us all the time. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And because of Him, when I die, I will go home to be with Him in glory. Because of Him, every blessing that I need, He provides. It comes down the ladder to me. The angels, the messengers of God are watching over me, encamping about me for those that fear Him and need Him. In other words, brethren, I've got good news for you. God is on His throne and all is well. And all is well. And don't tell me this little boy didn't need to know this right now, because God gave that to him. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. I'm telling you, the Father stands. And how do we have access to the Father? Is it not through the Son? And is it not through the work of the Holy Spirit giving us the desire in our heart and then giving us the access to God? And is your life not filled with blessings? Every blessing that you have in your life. And I want you to count them. I want you to number them. If you'll count your blessings, you won't have time to complain about what you don't have. When you count your blessings, you won't worry about being covetous, which Hebrews truth says, don't be covetous, but let your conversation be, the Lord will never leave me, I'll never forsake me, so I'll not fear what men shall do to me. Listen, we have a God who's promised to be with us all the time, and in every way, in every step along life's way. And He was with Jacob, and just like, you know, Brother Richard Cox used to call his God's children Jacobites. Because they were like Jacob, in that Jacob's chosen, you're chosen. He's chosen you. And He'll watch over you. He'll keep you along life's way. Has He not done that? And the angel of God ascending and descending on it, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father. He says that today. Listen, He's the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. And the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. In other words, this place where they were, He was at Canaan's land. He was at the promised land, and that land was given. The word of God stands sure. And brethren, we can go to His book and count on everything, that every promise that's in it. You can count on it being the truth, because it comes down from God, and it comes through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You think, well, once you get told that, that has to be happening right soon, doesn't it? It was a while before this all took place, and you can keep on reading. I encourage you to do that. It's a while before it happens. And Jacob goes through a whole lot. But the ladder was still there. The Father's still at the top. The promises are still sure. And as you and I go through our life, we're to wait on the Lord. We're to wait for Him. We're to trust in Him. We're to lean on Him. His promises are sure, and His promises are real. And by faith, we are to embrace Him. And remember, the ladder is there, so that you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is always there. And He says, and behold, I am with thee. Oh, verse 15, and behold, I am with thee and will keep thee. Hear this. This is to us. Behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That's the promises of Almighty God today. Isn't it good to know He won't leave us? Mom and Daddy were not there. But the Lord was. And He showed him that. And he slept on a rock. And it was I believe it was a wonderful sound sleep. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And it says, and he said, surely, get this, surely the Lord is in this place. I feel that way this morning. Surely the Lord is in this place. There have been times I've been going along in life just not thinking about Him at all, and He comes in such a powerful way, you say, surely the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. Can I say to you, He's always present with you. Always. There's never a time He's not with you. There's a lot of times we don't know it. What a blessing is when He reveals Himself in a manifest way. And that is that prayer. When we pray, Lord, be with us, we're not saying He's not with us. We're saying, Lord, I need to see You. I need to feel You. I need to know that Thou art near. I need to see Jacob's ladder. I need to dream the dreams. I need to understand and have hope in Thee. Because when I get in doubt and fear, I become like Solomon. Nothing else can satisfy. Nothing. Nothing will satisfy. But when you see the Lord, it's well with my soul. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep. And surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Now when he says how dreadful, he didn't mean this is the place I don't want to be. It means I feel so unworthy. Have you been there? I feel so unworthy that I just want to fall down before the Lord, and I want to beg Him to forgive an old sinner like me, and be so thankful that he'd have anything to do with me whatsoever. I'm not here because of my goodness or my good works. I'm telling you, I'm here. If I'm here in any right way at all, it's only by his grace that we enjoy these beautiful sights of his presence in our life. And when we feel his presence, you'll find this every time. When God's little children really see him, they want to fall down before him and just thank him. When we look at Jacob's ladder, that's what we see. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillar, and he set it up for a pillar. Not pillows they lay his head on. God's little children are to be pillars, not pillows. I mean, we're to be pillars. We're to be foundational, to hold up things. And the Lord is the one who makes us pillars, not pillows, pillars. And he took this stone and made it for a pillar and poured oil on top of it, not to worship it, but to mark it and to identify and remember it. And I said to you, you and I need to remember those times and those places where we felt the manifestation of the Lord's presence in our life. And keep those, it's like that Ebenezer stone. We keep it for a place of remembrance that the Lord was with me. I'm telling you, my life is marked with places where I know the Lord was with me. You too. I know he was with me. I want to remember that. So when I get in those dark times that I might be able to see again Jacob's ladder. I might see Jesus. We would see Jesus. That's really what it's all about. We would see Jesus. And Jacob rose up early in the morning, took a stone that he put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. Now, I know in my accent, pillow and pillar sounds exactly the same, but it's, you know the difference. And he came the name of that, and he called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. By the name of that city was called, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God." When you read this, you might think that's saying, if God will do this, then I'll do that. That's not what it's saying. It's God has already promised. You can read that in verse 15. God has already promised the if. When Jacob says, if God's going to do it, he's not saying maybe he will, maybe he won't. I'm telling you, when God said it, it's going to happen. Isn't that true? God has made his promise. Does God keep his promises? Absolutely. So when he says if, he isn't saying if God does it or not. If God, you know, I might tell you something and you might say if he does it or not, I'll do this. If he does it, and if he doesn't do it, I'll do that. When God says he's going to do it, you don't have to put an if on it. That if doesn't apply. He said if God will be with me, not that God wouldn't be with me, but if God's so good that he'll be with me, if God's so wonderful that he'll be with me, and that if God has made this promise to me, if God will do that, if God will be with me, and he's promised to, and he will keep me in his way, and he's promised to, that I go, and I will, and will give me bread to eat, by the way, he promised to, and raiment, he's promised to, if God will do that, in other words, if God's so good, he'll do that, so that I can come again to my father's house in peace, if God's going to do that for me, how, God forbid anyone would be my God but that God. In other words, I'm serving him not because of what he's done, what he's going to do for me. I serve him because of what he's already done for me. Then let the Lord be my God. May that statement be in our mouths today. God has been so good to me. May I serve him with every part of my being. May I be remembering to be thankful to him. When I'm laboring 7 years and don't get what I want and get told I got to work another 7 years for it, may I be thankful to him. Because he still promised and his promises are sure, and I don't understand his ways. His ways are beyond my ways and his thoughts above my thoughts. But I know his promises are sure. So what he's ever promised, he's going to do. And if God's going to do and be that good to me, how could anyone else be my God? God forbid I turn and worship some idol. And certainly not do as Solomon tried to do, get happy in the world and the things of the world, because he said, I hated life. So what's our answer, little children of God? Our answer is God's promised to be with us, and because of that, we ought to serve him with all that's in us. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. You know where God's house is? Wherever God manifests His presence. I'm telling you that. And He says, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. This is not setting up some law of how we're supposed to give. It's saying what a little brother in his heart said when it came time to show God his thanksgiving. He said, I will do all that I can to support the house of God and the service of God in this world. And what God has blessed me with, I will return it. Not some law that we're under today. Listen, if we're just, this isn't about if God will do something for me. That would be serving God out of selfishness. God, and let me say it real quick and get out of the way. God has already done more for us than we could ever thank Him for. And if God, this is how that if works. If God's been so good to us, how could we do anything else? Listen, God's been so good to me, how could I serve any other God? That's what He's saying. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
$192.